Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk to a former Red Star, Mark Wright. Before I mention what we're really going to talk about, I've got to say to him, how did you enjoy playing football at Anfield at the Hillsborough Legends?
You know what? I'll tell you what, Pete. You soon forget how big that pitch is and you take for granted how fit you were at the time running around making it look pretty easy. Because the older you get, the bigger that pitch gets. And what you forgot as well was that the heat coming from above, it was a hot day, and the heat coming from the crowd, there was very little air. So we thought we was playing at a good pace. And when you watch it back, it was a snail's pace. And you think, oh my word, what's going on? That's the sand of time.
Do you know what I thought was magical about that day? Because the prices, it was a charity, but because the prices were cheaper than normal, many, many children were there witnessing and seeing the ambience in Anfield.
Oh, you know what? It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. When you looked around, you're quite right, Pete. There were so many children. I mean, from us, we took, we bought 20 tickets and a lot of them were children coming in. And you know what? Because they hadn't experienced it, they wanted to come and see what it was really like. And, you know, the atmosphere was good. It was a party atmosphere. The football wasn't that great, but it was great to get and to introduce so many more youngsters to the Anfield experience.
Couldn't agree with you more. Mark, I met you and your lovely wife, Sue, at a party recently, and I was incredibly impressed with you, as I told you that I was adopted and I met your little daughter. And I said, you started talking about fostering, and I went, no, stop the conversation. I'm not wasting this. I want you to come on air. Hence, you're here. Let's talk about fostering now.
Do you know what, Pete? My wife is a barrister in child protection. And she started talking about bits and pieces, and she was bringing cases home. And I think as an ex-footballer, you know, you live in your own little bubble, your own little world, and you take things for granted, or you don't open your mind up to things that are really, really happening. And, you know, I was one of those people. And then when Sue brought some cases home, and some of them were very disturbing, some of them were, you know, were very touching, and we just both felt together that we needed to do something in this field to try and help the children of this country to have better lives. And through no fault of their own, you know, they're being neglected, that they're being abused, they're being hurt, all them sort of things, all them words that you can use. And that's really happening. And the children don't deserve that. So we both thought together that, and with my family, from my previous marriage, I've got four children, because it is a family thing. They all have to be involved in this to make things work and make things happen. And we just thought we had to go and do something, and hence here we are. You know, we've got involved, and now I've become an ambassador for fostering and trying to raise awareness for fostering and adoption, Pete.
Now, explain what an ambassador is with fostering.
Well, an ambassador is somebody. What it is, the position that I'm in, Pete, is that at this moment in time, I'm the only, certainly for as a footballer of the higher end, as an ex of standing for maybe international or Premier League player, that actually fosters any children. And in the sporting world, there's not many more that actually do it. So really, it's quite a unique position. So through the world of sport, and there's nothing bigger in the world certainly in this country, than football. So many people watch it, so many people, you know, love it, and they've got a passion about it. And if I can raise awareness through sport and through football especially, and try and get to the crowds and try and get into the programs and tell them what we're doing, it's a captive audience. They'll read it and maybe they'll listen, and maybe, you know, we can try and get more foster carers and adoptive parents you know, involved. Because at this moment in time, Pete, there's 10,000 foster carers short. Hence why I'm involved in a 10K campaign to try and make a big dent in that. We don't know how you can't count numbers, but certainly the awareness has been raised greatly since we started having you know, corporate days. We started speaking at the church, which I'd never been. I wasn't a church guy, Pete, but I'm speaking in churches now, trying to raise awareness and doing all that. And are taken by how lovely the people are in these churches.
What was it like for you the first time you fostered, Mark?
Do you know what, Pete? It was more my wife. I've got to be honest, and I'll be truthful about it. That, you know, wanted to do it and had a passion for it, and then when they came, and you know, the children come down the path, and they haven't got suitcases. They've got bin liners with their belongings in, And, you know, you just look at them and it just breaks your heart. I mean, from day one, it'll break your heart. There are testing times and there's fantastic times. And there's nothing better when you see a child laugh. And when they start laughing with you when they're in their home, when they're in your home, Peter, you know that you're on the right lines to helping that child achieve happiness and maybe, you know, for future life, you know, become better people and achieve things in their life. But certainly when they came down, it broke my heart seeing them come down with their, you know, trailing behind. Mum and Dad aren't with them. They've left behind everything. And my wife did this noughts and crosses board, Pete, to me and said, listen, there's 9 spaces there. Fill in the things, put yourself in their position and put in them 9 spaces what you think are the most important. So you'd put your mum and dad, your brothers and sisters, you'd put your grandparents, you'd put your dog, you'd put your toys, you'd put your friends, you'd put all them in. And really, then she said, take 3 away. So 3 went. Take another 3 away. And then all of a sudden it becomes harder, Pete. And then you're usually left with your mum and dad, your brothers and sisters, and your nan and granddad. Well, my wife said to me, take another one away when I can't. I said, well, this is the point of an exercise. Just do it. So you cross one off, and then you cross another one off. She said, well, I'll cross the last one off. So she said, and I said, what's the point of that? And she went, that's a foster child. Everything's been taken away from them. They don't know where they're going to from one moment to the next. They're taken away. They come with a bag of clothes, sometimes with no clothes. But they've left behind the mum and dad, the brothers and sisters sometimes. They've left behind their grandparents, their pets, their school friends, whatever it may be. You know, and that's the life of a foster child. And it's for me, Pete, and I'll say it again, and I've said it a few times now already, is that it's heartbreaking. And I just felt that we needed, and my wife and I needed to get involved and make an impact and see if we could try, and it is the word try, because there is this stigma attached to foster children that it's all hard work and things are very difficult, but that's not right. For every one bad story, there's 1,000 good stories. And we have to, as a country, of the multi-millions, how hard can it be to raise 10,000 new foster carers? And at this moment in time, it is proven hard. But that means we've got to dig deeper and work harder to try and break the mold of what people think and raise awareness and recruit as many people into the system as we can. Because these children need our help, Pete.
Now, you say how hard it is and it breaks your heart. But how hard is it also to say goodbye?
Well, you know, Pete, well, 4 children came at one time, and when they have to go, I'm a long-term foster carer. That's where I am, Pete, because it's very hard to try and let go, because, you know, you don't know where they go and what they're doing. But fostering needs respite carers. They need short-term, they need long-term, and they need adoptive parents. And you know, the company, like I said, Pete, the company that I'm with is called FCA, right? And what they do, they are pushing adoption. They're trying to raise awareness. What they're trying to do, Pete, is, and what we're all trying to do, and it's for everyone, not just for who I'm with, but, you know, there's so many children that are suffering, Pete, right? And these early intervention programs is what is so needed. And, that, you know, they're trying to stop these programs. They need support to the families at a very early stage. They don't need to start closing these Sure Start centers. They need to open more to make sure that at the beginning, they're getting the support. The families are getting the support, so they're not, the children aren't taken into care. This is where I think they need to be spending their money, giving the support to the younger families and helping them through, so we don't get more children in the system. And do you know what, Pete? Getting back to the point you said, how hard is it to see a child walk away? Terrible. Terrible, because you know, you feel from them. It's another move of saying, oh, I'm not wanted, and yeah. they're going somewhere else. And you think, it messes you up, and you just think, if more people out there, Pete, knew 100% about what was going on, and things need to be, big programs need to be put on the TV, telling the truth, saying how difficult it is, and saying how great it is, but also saying, listen, it's a profession now. You know, it can be classed as, you've got to get through the system to become a foster parent, but you're rewarded financially to make sure that the children are looked after. And with this climate at the moment, Pete, you're seeing so many people out of work and saying they're struggling. Well, I'm saying come into the foster system, help these children, which is the most important thing, is help these children out. But you can be rewarded for it and you can be looked after. Well, it's a win-win for everybody. But the most important thing is these children. But getting back again to what you asked me, it's the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
But I've had many challenges in my football career. You know, ups and downs all the way through. Seeing a child go, crying to have to go to another placement for whatever reason, is heartbreaking. Oh, but there's also the other reward when you see a child, you know, make it and come through that testing time and start having laughter and start to flourish at school. That's the other side to it. And you think, yeah, you know what? And you have to say, well done us, because it's another one that's taken out of the system and is now starting to thrive.
Now, tell me, does adoption figure in this campaign at all?
Well, it does with where we are with this Foster Care Associates, with FCA, is because they are now pushing, majorly, they've set up a separate thing to push adoption. At this moment in time, Pete, you know, adoption is too long-winded and takes too long. They need to shorten the timescale so that the children can benefit. Once the authorities and once the legal system has made a decision that the child needs to be adopted, make it an easy transition. Make it smooth. And that's what we're all trying to do, is say, listen, more often than not, it's going to be 2 years plus before a child's adopted. That's too long on that child. You know, 6 months, a year at most. But we can cut it by half or even more to make sure that these children, instead of floating around, then they can start to feel, you know, and maybe you can understand this probably, you know, more than I, but what the children want, they want, if they're taken away, they want that sense of belonging, that they know that they've got some stability. They're getting boundaries. They're getting love and affection. But they belong. They've got, that is my bedroom, and I'm not going anywhere. This is where I'm going to stay. And we need to listen to the voices of the children, because I believe, Pete, that they can help us, teach us the way forward. We've got to listen to them and say what they feel, instead of, you know, adults making decisions. You know, ask the teenagers, ask the youngsters of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Ask them how they feel, what makes them uncomfortable. And I think that's the way forward. We can progress and really push this and help the children out if we all join together, instead of having these different fractions here, there, and everywhere, because it is everyone pulling in all different directions, and I don't think that's a good way. But for me, adoption is a massive thing, and it's tough on the parents. I totally understand that, and there are some cases where they just can't cope, Pete. And I, you know, and you feel for them stories. Other cases where the children have been completely let down, and they need to find happiness and flourish, but it takes time, doesn't it? Because let's not forget, when children are foster children, or even when they become adopted, they know that they have a birth family, don't they? And we're doing the best we can to make sure that these children can achieve something, you know, in life, and then really settle down. And I keep saying this, and have some happiness, because that's what it's all about. And once again, through no fault of their own, they haven't had that at all times. And everybody deserves to have a childhood, and some of these children aren't, and that's unfair.
I'm talking to Mark Wright about a campaign over fostering children. Tell me, how hard is it these days with the rules? Because people are frightened of children. Because, you know, to me, if I fostered a child, I want to give them a hug. That love and attention is going to be the most important. But there's rules about that, aren't there?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are people, but they're all relaxing a little bit. It's you know, with moderation. If a child wants to have a hug, then give them a hug. I think why they say all these things, Pete, is for a safeguarding policy, to make sure that the foster parents aren't accused of anything. And there have been allegations, and people have got to be aware. Of course, there are allegations that are said and done. But most of it is unfounded, and a lot of it is unfair. But, you know, some of these are troubled children. But what is wrong? What is wrong in the right circumstances? When a child is hurt, give them a hug. Make sure that they're okay. I totally agree with you, Peter, but there are some rules and regulations that, you know, that I agree with, and there are some that I don't agree with. And I just think that at times we've got to learn what is it like. To go back to the same thing again, Pete. What do the children want? That's the most important thing. What do they want? And when they come in, is it the affection that they want? And it's hard to get close to some of them, you know, when they're teenagers, because they tend to probably push you away a little bit. Feel like, listen, you're only a stopgap. I'll be going somewhere else in a minute. And that's the way they feel. So we've got to give them that security. But some of the rules, like you're saying, are wrong. But how can you? You've got to be normal with these children. And like you said, some of the rules make it you know, not normal. Because if you've got your own child, you're going to give them a cuddle, aren't you?
What
and
I want,
got, and you've
yeah,
got to.
Yeah. What I want from this interview, and I've done, I've yep. tried to help with fostering so many years, and I know how difficult it is. But yep. I just want anyone that's listening to me and you, that thinks they might be interested, just go along and talk to somebody. That's all I want them to do.
Do you know what, Pete? That's the biggest thing. The biggest step is people. There's loads of people that said, "Well, I've been thinking about it." Well, I say, don't think about it. Go and talk about it. And once you talk about it, you'll know if it's for you or it's not. And we totally accept the fact that a lot of people, it's not for them. But if you've got a caring heart and you've got love in your heart and you see and hear the stories of some of the things that are going on, I'm sure everybody out there would want to help in some capacity. And we're not saying long term. We can say, listen, respite, help some people out for a weekend. Have a short term so that you know they can just get respite. Whatever it may be, Pete, there are people, and I think there's so many thousands of people out there. Of a country of millions, we need 10,000. Like I said before, that shouldn't be a big ask. And if we can hit the right heartstrings and hit the right notes and do the right things, then we can attract people in. And all I'm asking, all I'm trying to do is saying, listen, I'm doing it. And I think it's one of the most rewarding things that you'll ever, ever do in your life, when you can help a child that is not your birth child achieve happiness. And when you see them smile, you know what? One of the best things in the world, Pete, I can assure you.
Mark, how can people find out more about what you do in this campaign?
Well, I just think it's for everybody. Mine is go onto the internet. It's called Foster Care Associates. They're an independent. I don't doubt that, but there's so many independents that are needed, because there's a shortage of carers. And it is intrusive when you have to go through the system. And why it's intrusive is because everyone has to have their background checked to make sure that they're the right and proper people. They haven't done, maybe drugs, and they're not violent, and they're not this and they're not that, and they're financially stable, whatever it may be. So you have to go through, and it is intrusive, but we have to find out that first and foremost, the people wanting to come into it are coming into it for the right reasons, and they want to help the children. And then when you get in, then you are rewarded. And it really, that's simply it. And I just think, you know, the local authority, everyone, all of us are trying to do a great job for these children. It's not just me saying, everybody, and there's so many around the country, we're all banging the drum to say, listen, please help the children. And that's what it's about. If we can all do that and reduce this deficit of 10,000, then we'll be happy, happy people. And I'll consider myself, if we can make a big dent in this, I'll consider it one of the biggest achievements that I've had in my life.
Mark Wright, to finish off, what will you say to anybody listening now that is that close to thinking of fostering?
Speak to someone and do it. Don't think, go and do it. Experience it. Go and do it as a respite carer first, or even a short term. You'll know if it's for you or if it's not. But if you don't and you're all becoming decisive, then you'll never know. But I say, I'm one of those people, Pete, that's a doer. I like to do it and say, listen, okay, that's for me, that's not for me. Go and try and help. See what it's like, and try and help. And the biggest thing is, let's all try and help. In whichever way it is, whether it's a small or in a big way, let's help the children of this country achieve some happiness. Because, like I said before, Pete, they certainly deserve it. And we're playing a small part in our lives, both my wife and I and my children, to try and make an impact and change people's lives for the better.
Mark Wright, thank you for joining me.